Brian, before you start, I'm gonna tell you that Bruce Garrettson said that he would call in, so I haven't heard him beep in.
Okay.
So you may hear a beep and it will say Bruce is now in, so.
All right. Are we broadcasting recording? All right. Thanks, Scott. All right, very well. Good afternoon. This is Commissioner Brian Kalk. We're meeting on the 12th floor of the Capitol today. It's approximately 1:30. We're meeting for an informal today on case numbers PU12696 and PU12697, dealing with potentially a service area agreements between Ottertail Power and Cass County Electric, as well as the related public's convenience and necessity. I would open and turn it over to Commissioner Fetch. It's your portfolio if you have any comments, and then Commissioner Kramer, and then perhaps we'll go around the room and see all. And everybody can announce their names for the record.
Okay, thank you. I'm Commissioner Fetch. On September 12th, 2012, the commission issued a notice of filing, notice of informal hearing, and notice of opportunity for hearing in the matter of case number PU12-696 and 697. And Okay, do I need to start over?
Yes, I would.
Okay, thank you. All right, good afternoon. I'm Commissioner Fetch. Now that we have my microphone on, we'll proceed. On September 12th, 2012, the commission issued a notice of filing, notice of informal hearing, and notice of opportunity for hearing in the matter of two cases, PU12696 and 697. And this concerns, one, a service area agreement between Ottertail Power Company and Cass County Electric Co-op for Cass and Richland Counties, and Ottertail Power Company, Cass and Richland Counties Service Area Agreement for a Certificate of Public Convenience and Necessity. And the notice for of opportunity for hearing indicated that an informal hearing would be held today on October 10th, 2012 at 1:30 p.m. That's what we are here for today. Would you like me to go through any of the rest of this?
I think that's probably adequate for now.
And
typically, we just see if Kevin had any comments before we get started. And
just welcome and thanks for the hard work and putting it all together. I don't know that we've ever had a service area agreement single case that involved so many jurisdictions, but I like the judicial efficiency of it. So as long as your troops are willing to do all the work and Jerry's willing to,
someone has entered the conference.
I think it's
Bruce Gerhardson.
So I look forward to being so productive with one case.
All right, perfect. Just go around and say who you are and who you're with. This guy, start with you, Scott.
Sure, Scott Handy. I'm president and CEO of Cass County Electric Cooperative.
I'm Jerry Coyne, the operations manager of Ottertail Power Company in Wahpeton, North Dakota.
And Jerry Lynn with staff.
Okay, perfect. Well, with that, I think maybe just turn it over to Scott and Jerry, and you want to walk us through how we got to this position, and then we'll go through the staff recommendation and answer any questions that may come up, or ask any questions that may come up.
Sure. I made a few notes on general comments, Jerry, but if you'd like to go first.
Go ahead and start, and I'll...
Okay. I appreciate your comments, Commissioner Kramer, about the scope of this agreement. It was a fairly large undertaking, and I want to start out with a real sincere compliment to Jerry at Ottertail, and at various points, Mr. Holland, who's in the audience, was involved in some of the discussions as well. This is the third such agreement between Ottertail Power Company and Cass County Electric. We started out with baby steps. Our first one was about 5 years ago, and it involved the city of Kindred and Normanna Township surrounding the area of Kindred, and that worked out very well for us. Cass County Electric at that time was in the process of attempting to secure a franchise with the city of Kindred because we did have some electric services inside the city. And Jerry and Ottertail were very supportive of our attempts to secure the franchise, and that led into these discussions about service area agreements. We had had legislative authority to have an animal like this for a couple of years, and we thought we would try it out. And to my embarrassment, we missed being the first one in the state by one day because Capital Electric and MDU beat us to the punch and filed theirs the day before this one got filed. That worked out well. We've had several instances where accounts have developed in and around Kindred where a simple glance at the agreement was very clear-cut on who would be where, and we've even had, I think, at least one case in Kindred where it made sense to deviate from the agreement, and by mutual agreement between us, Ottertail is serving an account that's slightly inside our area and outside their area, but you know, it made economic sense. It was handled in a businesslike manner over about a 10-minute phone conversation, so it works. We proceeded from there to an agreement in and around the Castleton area involving two townships. On your map exhibit, that would be the area outlined in a green line at the upper left corner of it. And I guess what kind of spurred that was the ethanol plant development, which is being served by Ottertail. We had facilities relatively close by, and we wanted to make sure that as we contemplated future growth related to the ethanol plant, that there was a clear understanding between us over who would be where, so that we didn't hold up any of that development that could happen there. And likewise, that went very well as well. The agreement in front of you right now covers the balance of the areas where Ottertail's Wahpeton Service Center jurisdiction overlap with Cass County Electric Service Area. This was described earlier as being Cass and Richland counties. I would add it's substantial portions of Cass and Richland, but not the entire counties. What remains and is a work in progress right now between our two organizations is the portion of our remaining service area to the west that overlaps with Ottertail's Jamestown service area jurisdiction. We're about two-thirds through that right now. That's been suspended for a year or so. We've just both had some other distractions, but we'll get back after that this winter. The text part of the agreement is the same as the prior agreements. We have a well-written, well-understood text, so we just use that as boilerplate. One relatively significant difference here, just because of the scope of it, is that Ottertail needed to go to all of the municipalities where it holds franchises and get those signatures. So that stretched the time out a lot. Jerry had to go to a lot of evening meetings in all these little towns around the area, but you'll note from the signature page that she got all of that done. As we looked at our utility map exhibits, we had our mapping departments actually create a consolidated map exhibit that showed where both of our utility plants were laid. And in general, what we would more or less split the difference between where our existing facilities are, and to the extent we possibly could, we put the boundary lines on geographic features like section lines, half section lines. Occasionally we follow road and railroad center lines. We even have a couple river center lines in there. But things that, you know, to the person not that familiar with utility stuff, they could look at a map and say, I understand why the line is there. That's a sort of a natural location for a boundary line. We did end up with a handful of accounts for both parties that ended up in the other utilities service areas. Those, of course, are grandfathered in, as you'll see in the text. That happened in the first two agreements as well. That's just one of the untidy things about doing this, is not every single location conforms. But
So if one of those services that's grandfathered in, if the business or the resident goes away, then the right to serve in that area, I assume, goes away with it.
There's actually, I think, a kind of a time period.
I think it's 120 days.
Yeah.
Period. So if nothing happens, it's either 120 days or 6 months. During that time, if nothing happens, then it will, when someone wants to get service there, then it would go to the utility or the co-op whose service area it is.
Okay.
And we agreed on that language to kind of prevent the issue of sort of cherry picking in reverse, where the customer could disconnect from us at 12 o'clock and connect with Ottertail at 1 o'clock and consider that to be a service, a location without electric service. So,
We may have seen
customers
that before.
Think of things like that. So that was our answer, was to have a sort of a cooling off period.
Yes.
like that. Good. In a reciprocal manner, the agreement allows for services inside the other party's jurisdiction where it makes economic sense to do that. And I described an instance around Kindred where that happens. So that is contemplated, and we have a method for dealing with that. And that's all I have for notes. If I'd be happy to try answer any questions.
Okay. Bonnie, did you have any? Okay.
No. You know, when it comes to, I have one. When it comes to, I call them a legacy customer that's outside the natural boundary of things. I mean, are we to just sort of wait harmony over wasteful duplication, or is that this is kind of individual case, or how do you go about doing it, you know, deciding those things? Or do you ever switch? I mean, do you ever say, sorry, this line, the line is this street, and you're gonna have to be an Autotel customer now. Have you had to do that with any of these?
Well, the language of the agreement allows for grandfathering in those instances, mm-hmm. So I don't believe it's been a problem. We've had instances sort of outside of agreements like this where mm-hmm. a customer, let's say a member of ours that needed a substantial service upgrade, say to three-phase power.
Sure.
Autotel may be very close by. We may be miles away. Those kinds of exchanges happen several times a year. That's just business. Yeah.
And that may continue. And as we had talked earlier with the amount of tiling that's going on in eastern North Dakota right now, huge investment for the utilities for the amount of revenue that we see. So we do look very closely. And if there is a utility, whether it be CAS or another co-op, we have steered the customer in that direction if we know their facilities are closer, because we're looking out for their, we expect some retribution or compensation for our costs, and we want to make sure their costs are the lowest as possible. So if the co-op or whichever one is closest, then we'll work with the customer.
Okay. All right. Jerry, did you have anything to add from your viewpoint that we maybe have missed?
I just want to say that this has been a great working relationship that Ottertail Power has had with CAS and with Scott as we've gone through this process, not only with Kindred and Castleton, but as we've moved through all these communities. And it's nice to be able to sit down and discuss these in an informal setting versus in front of the commission or in a courtroom to decide who should be able to serve. And so I do appreciate the opportunity to be in front of you today to show that we have this worked out, and hopefully this will answer questions for us and save work for all of us for many years to come.
So what was the, if there was any, the most controversial or difficult area to kind of maneuver through?
I don't think
there was anything in here. There's in sort of the next stage of this that's in progress right now, there are areas around Lisbon where, I mean, we're literally like that, and we've kind of had to really pick through and dissect that. And we actually have come to an agreement on that with Charles Krebs, who is Jerry's counterpart in Jamestown. But, you know, that, you won't see that application here for probably several months. But that was probably the most difficult thing, because we really, and this goes back decades to times when we never missed an opportunity to kick each other in the shins. I mean, that's what happens, and that's what we're trying to avoid going forward with this.
Because one of the things that, how much does it come into consideration of, when you look at an area, you could look at, you know, one side of the river, the other side of the river, one is going to grow and one's not going to grow. I mean, future growth, how does that come into your equation here at all? Or is it more of just what lines seem to look on the ground?
Speaking for myself, I was looking at it and saying, okay, what makes the most sense where our facilities are today? Can't predict tomorrow. It could go great guns or it could go belly up. And so we just looked at where our facilities were, and in most cases we go, let's split the difference and we'll see what happens.
Probably the closest situation to what you described would have been in the Castleton area.
Yeah.
Just because of the ethanol plant, we both knew that in the future there's going to be more stuff happening there. And we made the case to each other that, you know, there should be some kind of an equitable sharing
Absolutely.
In that. And we each made our best guess as to where that geography was going to be and agreed on where the lines are. Now, I may be horribly wrong. Jerry may be horribly wrong. Yeah. We may, neither one of us lived to know that.
But it was a planning consideration in some cases.
Yeah.
Okay.
The rest of the area here, you know, let's be realistic, we're probably not going to see gangbuster growth happening other than maybe, some like a rural school load popping up here and there. It's kind of a toss of the dice.
Yeah.
Okay.
It'll even out over time, I'm confident.
And, from my understanding, Jerry Lean, I'm addressing now, no written comments or comments have been received to date?
We haven't had any response yet to the notice of hearing.
Okay.
October 26th.
Yeah, it's still open, though,
right,
the period.
Right. So. But to date, we haven't gotten anything, so.
No, ma'am.
Okay.
If I may comment on that, Commissioner, when I went to the various city council meetings, they welcomed the opportunity, so that way when someone comes in, if there's a question on it, if it's on the edge of the city limits or something like that, they will know where to steer them as far as the electrical provider. So they were very welcoming of the opportunity to have these, and I told them once it was all approved, then we would have maps for them that they could have at their city halls or in their possession so that if the question came up, they could look and see as well.
And I think we had the same experience in Kindred and Castleton. Coincidentally, in those two communities, we both had to appear because we both have franchises. But
I was going to ask about the franchise questions when you're done with this.
The biggest thing I got out of those meetings was relief on their part that anything that agreed to, they were fine with as long as they didn't have to get in the middle of it.
Well, and that really is the value of the whole law, is that the legislature has placed harmony as a pretty high premium in all of this, and that it has a value, even a monetary value, an economic value. So I'm sure at the local city council level, it's even probably greater.
Yeah.
So you don't need a franchise in all these other communities, or do you have a franchise in every community, Scott?
We have franchises, of course, in Fargo and West Fargo in the metro area, in Castleton, Kindred, Lisbon, and Valley City, which is really unusual for a cooperative to have a franchise with a municipally served city. But we don't have other franchises. I suppose we ought to. We have 30-some communities where we're the sole supplier for miles around.
Sure.
So we probably ought to pursue that. But on the list of things we have to work on, that's probably not near the top.
Yeah. So the 2036... how do we come up with that number? Was that 25 years from when you started? Okay.
Yeah. Which really doesn't correlate that well to franchise law, because the statute has a 20-year maximum franchise term. This is...
Well, and that's what
that
I was...
That doesn't come into play here.
Yeah. Right. But I do think in others, Jerry, am I remembering correctly that I think we've had some other agreements that have corresponded with franchise. In fact, the termination of a franchise, or the termination date of a franchise, has sometimes spurred the agreement, as
the
I recall.
Yeah.
I think so.
Definitely seen that.
It seemed like 20 years was a popular time frame for them. I don't know if it was based on their franchises or
it was, but anyway,
if they just picked a number out of the.
But that has spurred some other service agreements around the state. Is that we asked them what spurred it, and they said, "Well, the franchise was coming up for."
My recollection is that we picked 25 years out of the air.
Yeah, that's. Pretty much it.
We wanted to put it well beyond our watches.
Yeah, right. Make sure you were retired before it came up again.
And it does give us an opportunity to do several communities at once versus if we were going to wait for the franchise to go up,
right.
Then it would be really sporadic.
Yeah. Okay.
No, that's good. I like
You'd
this.
See a lot of us then.
For Jerry Lane, you prepared a memo. Did we miss anything that you wanted to hit the through it?
I don't think so. It all looks good to me. I recommend it to be approved.
Okay. All right. Well,
this is a nice. I like color-coded maps, and this is easy to understand. The only thing that isn't easy to see, and I'm not sure that it really matters, are the dark blue, the high line, and the 230 and 115 lines. That's really hard for me to pick out here, but. I think I kind of got them. Can you see them? I think it kind of goes all the way down. Lost it here. Anyway.
And we didn't follow the transmission lines that much because this is more on a distribution level
sure.
that we needed to get down to for these customers to be served. And so that wasn't our primary focus.
Okay.
Orange next time, bright
okay.
orange.
I'm just looking at the calendar, and we have our next scheduled meeting is the 24th, so that we won't be able to vote on it then because the comment period will still be open, but we should be able to do it, I would think, in the November 9th.
November 9th meeting. Is there anything that would right. do you need it before November 9th that we could, because just like we just had a special meeting, if that would be a, okay.
I don't see a need for a special meeting for it. It can be approved at one of your regular
ones. The only advantage of doing it sooner is if we have a certificate case that comes up sooner where after
oh,
approval,
sure.
Otter Tail has a blanket certificate, so they don't need that process.
Sure.
It isn't mm-hmm. that big of a deal.
No,
I think.
No. We sent one in for the community of Wheatland. That's an unincorporated community, but that's included in this map as well.
Well, maybe we'll just play it by ear. When
the
comment period expires, if there are no comments and if we happen to have the opportunity to have a meeting, we would definitely put it on. So.
Otherwise, it would be November 9th.
November 9th, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So. Okay. Kevin, anything else?
I would just like to make one other comment. Before we were called to order, we were having a kind of a sidebar conversation about how it's kind of hard to read this mm-hmm. map here. We each have a set of individual township maps that shows the detail, and that'll be our working. If we have to pull out a map and consult it, it won't be this. It'll be the individual township maps.
Down to GIS, and you can see the culverts in the road. I believe.
Right, yeah.
Pretty close.
And if the commission would like a set of those for the record, I mean, it's a pretty thick wad of paper. You're welcome to it.
I think we would look forward to giving you a phone call if the question came up.
Okay. You know, you raise a point, though, a procedural point, Scott, and I think we miss it a lot of times. Our attorneys like us to ask, though, and Bruce is on the phone if he wanted to do it, but to offer everything, you know, the application and the maps as evidence. And that way it's
yep. That's exactly good catch.
I don't know if it's how big a deal.
So Bruce, did you hear that out there?
I did hear that, and I don't know if there's any magic to me doing it, but I will say the magic words. I offer the contents of the file of this case as evidence in support of our application.
All right, thank you.
We're glad.
Thank you, Bruce.
We're glad to receive it, and at least now you can justify the hour that you're billing the company. No, you work for him.
I work for him. Now. It justifies my existence.
Yeah, right, Scott, saving money.
Good catch, Kevin. Okay, anything else from the companies?
No.
Jerry?
Thank you for your consideration.
Kevin?
Not at all.
No,
Tony?
Nothing
thanks.
Further, thank you.
All right, with that, we will close the informal on case numbers PU12696 and PU12697. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Someone has left the conference.
Bruce Gerhardson.
I suspect this would have found its way into the file anyway.
Well, you never know when somebody challenges
you.
Yeah. And you know how silly it can get.
Gotta be careful. Would you like us back in November then? When it becomes formal?
You sure don't have to.
Okay.
You sure don't have to. I will say this, though. It's, you know, in terms of